Alt NPR.
And good morning. Here we are again. This is May the 12th, I think. It's either the 11th or the 12th. But anyway, just a thought before I begin.
Why do you want to do what you're about to do?
It's something I've always had a curiosity about, but not enough so that, I don't know, it's like an embarrassing thing to spend money on and to actually do. So this is like a good excuse for me to legitimize it. I believe in intuition. I believe in trusting your gut. I don't really believe in other people knowing or sensing things about you like that. I think that it's all in yourself. I make decisions every day based on what I think could happen in the future. I didn't actually have any reservations about it until I talked to Annie last night at the party. And she was like, oh, my friend went and she had her fortune told to her. And she was told that, like, she was going to break up with her boyfriend and lose her job and all these terrible things. And then they all came true. The worry is not that the fortune teller would know what's actually going to happen to me, but that she will tell me something terrible is going to happen and that I will make it like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, she'll be like, your relationship's going to go to shit. And I'll be like, oh, no. And suddenly my view of my relationship is just going to be terrible. You know, I'm just going to be waiting for it to end.
You were trying to say that you were into tarot for a while. What was that like?
I just got some tarot cards from my mom, who got them as, like, what are they called? Like a white elephant gift at a party. I was getting into, like, astrology kind of stuff. I was, like, 12 years old, you know. And I had no God. And so I was getting into this other kind of quirky stuff. For a while, I had some of the cards memorized so that I could kind of put together a semblance of what a reading would be. But usually it was just this long process where I had to go through and be like, okay, that card means that, and that card means that. And so I guess what this means is blah, blah, blah.
What was the appeal for you at the time?
Well, I think it was more as like a party trick. I was doing it to impress friends and that kind of thing.
But you were saying that you didn't have a God.
Well, that's what the astrology kind of stuff was, all the New Agey kind of things.
What was the appeal of astrology?
It was having something unnatural to believe in. And I guess it was fashionable, you know, in the early 90s, to be into stars and suns and moons and shit.
And how did you get out of it? Why did you get out of it?
I started making friends.
But I thought the whole reason was to impress friends.
Yeah, but then I realized that wasn't the way to go about it. Other girls are not actually impressed by your knowledge of Libra and Pisces interacting in certain phases of the moon or whatever. You know, your friends want to talk about frickin' Johnny Depp.
So often people think to themselves after they've been introduced to this knowledge that, as most of us do, now I know about these things, I can develop these qualities, or I can do anything I want to do. But the truth is, that's not a truth. We can't do anything we want to do. Most people have grave limitations. They may take courses in positive thinking for years and years and affirm that they're going to be able to do this and do that, but they can't do it. I mean, this is not perhaps easily accepted, but as we go through life, we begin to recognize our own limitations and also the limitations of other people. They've never been able to achieve the things that they've wanted to achieve. Quite frankly, most people don't.
I was probably like 9 or 10 years old, and I was helping my mom clean the house. And there's this closet in my parents' house where, you know, my mom keeps like kind of all the like clutter and stuff. And we were doing, I don't know, it was like some like spring cleaning or something. And we were emptying out the closet, and I remember like seeing this. It was a pink book, and it was kind of like composition paper, like notebook like that, which was very strange. And it had like Indian script or, you know, like the Indian letters on it, but it did have my name on it. And so when I saw this book, I was like kind of perplexed as to, you know, why my name was on this and why I didn't know about this little notebook. And it actually looked like the kind of notebook paper or notebook that like kids use in India when they go to school, like what they write in. And I had never used one of those before. So I asked my mom at that time, I'm like, well, what is in this book? Like, and why is my name on it? And she kind of like avoided the whole thing. She was like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. Let's keep cleaning. And then underneath my book was another book with my brother's name on it. And then I was like, there's something interesting in this book, and I have no idea why my mom does not want to read to me what's in there. So I grabbed it real quick to like flip through it, and she got really upset with me, and she tried to like take it away from me and put it back in the closet. So of course, like as young as I was even more like interested to find out what was in this thing.
Tom Hanks in Big. That wasn't even a real fortune teller. That was a little machine.
It's true. What was the fortune he got? Like, or no, he was a wish giver, right?
Yeah. So I guess that wasn't even a fortune teller. That was a wish granter.
Are you nervous right now, like walking towards this place in Harvard Square?
You know, I'm mostly nervous about the show itself. I'm not really nervous about what she's going to say. I think that'll come as she starts talking. And it becomes apparent that my life is doomed.
My mom's like...
You're resigned to the idea that your life is doomed now.
I've pretty much come to terms with it within the past 24 hours.
Because of Annie.
Because of Annie. Damn that Annie. Up until then, I'd really been thinking, like, she was going to tell me all about how awesome my marriage was going to be. And, like, the names of my cats, which were going to be awesome names. And, like, I was going to live in a chateau somewhere. I didn't really think about how the impact of, you know, what if it was a whole bunch of crap? Like, not crap like bullshit, but, like, serious, scary crap.
See, I think any fortune that involves your future cats, that's got to be bad news.
Only if there's more than two. She's closed. So I guess we'll have to come back some other time.
You'd think if she was psychic, she would actually know they were coming.
The world does not believe that such a knowledge exists that could separate the component parts of the character to define it in all its detail, also to see how these component parts, when they are not arranged properly, create all the problems emanating from humanity collectively and individually. Civilization rises and most often falls because it did not address certain aspects within itself and its responsibilities and so on. So it is with the individual.
So I asked her what it was, and she told me that it's my plethorica. Basically, it's like this, it's a book that's written on you when you're a baby in India by an astrologer, in which he or she indicates what your future holds for you. It's mainly written for arranged marriage purposes, so that you can match up your plethorica with the plethorica of your potential spouse. She agreed to like read a little bit, and she opened to the first page, and she told me that usually in your prior life you're an animal, and she told me that I was an elephant, which I found so cool because I had this fascination with elephants as a kid, and it all somehow like made sense to me that of course I was an elephant in my past life. That was just the first page, and so I was like, well, read me the rest of it. And so then she got really like upset with me, and she's like, no, we need to put this away and let's just forget about it. Then I said to her, I was like, well, is it because there's something bad that's going to happen to me? Is that why you don't want to read it? So then in order to ease my mind, she decided to read a few more pages. One of the first words in the description was that Gauri is going to be a very obstinate person. And my mom said she started laughing because she's like, well, that's definitely you. And then it said other things like how I was going to be like really hardworking in school, which I was. And she started to read a few things to me, like what my hobbies were going to be, which included like doing artwork. And that again also was exactly like what my favorite hobby was at the time and still is. After that, she basically agreed with me that she would stop reading it, and she explained to me that it was really because she didn't want me to be influenced by anything that was written in this book, which at the time, even though I really wanted to know more, it did make somewhat sense to me, and I agreed that that was fine, and that maybe in like the future she would read to me like a little bit more of that book. Over the next few years, she read more and more of that plethorica to me, and you know, a lot of it was actually things that were going on in my life at the time. She really didn't want to read to me anything that was going to happen in the distant future because she really, again, didn't want me to be influenced by any of it. But what's really funny is now, like, after I've basically been read most of what's in that book, you know, a lot of it, like, has happened in my life, one of those being that I was going to become a doctor, which I am now. Oftentimes in India, you know, people have what are called love marriages, which are basically the opposite of arranged marriages, and they have these books written on them, and then it's always brought up, well, should we even see if there's a match between those books and between the two plethoricas? And often people don't want to do that just in case there isn't a match, then it could affect you. And deep down inside, even though you may love this person, you may actually think this isn't a suitable match. And a marriage may even be, you know, prevented from happening because of the power in these two plethoricas.
Would you want to know?
No, I wouldn't. For arranged marriages, it's one thing because you don't really have like this connection to this person, so it doesn't matter if it doesn't match up. But if I had what's called a love marriage, I would not want to know. Because, like I said, given how superstitious I am, I know it would affect me. And if something ever were to happen in that marriage, I would always think it was told in my future. And I completely ignored that despite my past years where I've really been a firm believer in this book. So I just don't want to know.
Okay, so where are we right now?
So right now we are in front of the building where Solomon the Great works, and it's a big brick building. It seems to be just like a normal townhome kind of thing.
All right, let's go inside.
Let's do this.
Here's a sign for Solomon the Great.
Come in.
Is it okay for me to record?
If you must.
Minnesota. And your name is?
My name is actually Adrian.
That is not your real name.
Nick and I came, we're doing like a radio show on Destiny, and I kind of wanted to know a little bit about, you know, what you think is in my future.
I have a couple of methods, and you may choose which one you prefer. We have the ball, we have the board, which is like the ball, and we have the sand. He's your brothers.
I'd say I'm intrigued by the sand.
What intrigues you about the sand? Don't tell me. I know. The beach, the child, you are a child at the beach. You are 6 years old. You're riding a dolphin. You're riding a porpoise. All right, the sand. Pour a little of the sand out. Place your hand in the sand, like so, and you move your hand around in the sand. You sweep your yes any way you like. Any. Okay. Draw your hands back. Now, we hold hands, and I chant. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Alhamdulillah. Alright. You have a boyfriend. Yes? And his name is Divo. His name is Divo. Anyway, you and your boyfriend, tumultuous. The word you are familiar with, tumultuous. Love on the rocks, ain't no surprise. Pour me a drink, I'll tell you the truth. You are thinking of him as a permanent man. How attached are you to this plan?
I would say, but I'm pretty attached.
Oh, pretty is pretty. I mean, you are pretty. This plan maybe is a little ugly. His name escapes me at the moment, but I'm not sure this is the best possibility. He is already unhappy. He is dreaming of other people. I can see into his mind. I can see into your mind, too, and you are dreaming of other people, but those other people are marriage consultants, priests, flower girls. He is dreaming of other gentlemen. Prefer the company of animals.
What kind of animals?
Porpoises, kangaroo. You prefer cats more than a dog. You're not a dog person, you're a cat person.
Wow. I mean, that's definitely true. When I was little, I had a cat collection in my room. It's just all these cat figurines.
Yes, that's very, very gay. You will, in the future, possess more than one cat.
Do you mean, like, I'll have many cats?
How does 15 strike you?
Is that amount legal?
No. But you will not be concerned. 15 is exactly 1/3 of how many you will possess.
Is there anything I can do to avoid that?
No. You are not an Ebenezer Scrooge. You are alien Viscountius, and you are doomed.
I'll begin the analysis in a minute.
Do you want me to talk about the name change? You think that when you grow up you can do whatever you want to do and you have more freedom. That's when you're a little kid. Oh, I can't wait to grow up so I can do this, do that, whatever. And then you end up kind of constrained. It came about sort of on a lark because I consulted a guy that does numerology, and he's like the name change expert, and he lives in Canada. And I had read his book many, many years ago, and I just kind of on the lark contacted him and got a reading by mail, like a cassette tape.
When you've had those momentary experiences, you know that this true inward nature is expressing and flowing through you to bring you upward, to lift you up.
What was especially compelling about his book?
Well, it wasn't so much his book. I mean, his book is cool. It's purple. Essentially, he takes the numerological value of your birthday, day, month, year, and kind of give a brief analysis of that. I don't want to talk too much about that because it's my mission and my destiny, but he just said that explained how my first name and my last name didn't support that particular mission.
Can you talk about that mission at all?
Well, you know what? I listened to the tape only once or twice.
But still, the inward quality of the four desire stability. They work on the basis of routine. They love being able to organize everything. They have to have everything organized. The house has to be organized. The pictures on the wall have to be straight. Everything in the kitchen has to be in its proper place. You go into somebody's home that's askew, the pictures are askew. The mind of the four sees the mess, sees the disorder, because everything about the four is order, precision. And that's just the way it is.
Did you think that was accurate?
In a way. When I got his tape, it wasn't really that like mind-blowing, except that he said, "No, I suggest you change your name." And I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me. That's crazy." was like, I'm not going to do that. Kooky, this is crazy. It's crazy. That's nuts. Why would you do that? And then I started to think, why not?
What changed your mind?
I started to live with it, and I just started to feel out the process. And I let my logical mind go, because my first reaction was, you know, the logical grown-up adult mind saying, that's nuts. Why would you do that? But then I thought about it and said, well, hey, let's try it out. That would be fun.
In one way, they all share the same fear. What will people think? We are product of our environment. We are product of our friends. What we want, all want more than anything else in life is to be accepted, to be understood.
What's their reaction to it?
Sometimes they're, gosh. Oh, yeah, someone says, well, you really are as flaky as I thought you were. Or, well, that makes sense. And they say it, like, in a wry way. Or, cool, that's great.
Most people get sidetracked into jobs they barely tolerate, relationships that they can't figure out, and so on. And a few people manage to move through the difficulties and continue to evolve to come to some level of completion or contentment in life. But that's a very, very rare few people. So the question would be is, why?
You have to take a leap of faith to think that the numerological equivalent of the letters in your name actually have some sort of vibrational effect.
I have small amounts of people usually in my classes, 12, a dozen or so, sometimes less, sometimes more. And many of my classes, almost everybody changes their names, simply because after a 12-week course, they know that there's a basic truth, and I say that very sincerely.
We, and myself included, just do not like to change things, because it requires that we get kind of flexible and take things lightly. It's like, oh, wait, we want to hold on to what we have.
How has your life changed?
It feels a little bit different. I feel like a little more, you know, devil may care. And whether that's because of the vibrational support I'm getting from the name, or maybe just the fact that I allowed myself to be this flaky person who changed their name.
Are you not normally someone who's flaky?
I think I have a flaky aspect. I'd like to be more quote-unquote flaky, because that's the name that we give to people that we think are a little, like, offbeat and don't fit in necessarily. And, you know, all those, you know, areas where you don't fit in make you you, and that's really where you should go. You know, the eccentricities that don't necessarily fit in are the genius aspects that need to be cultivated. And people don't like to see that because, you know, it makes them uncomfortable. So, yeah, I mean, I want to be more flaky, I guess. I actually sent him a tape back about me talking about my impending choice, perhaps. I don't know the guy. I mean, I haven't really, like, met him face-to-face, but I figured since he sent me a long tape, I would send him a tape back and talk to him about my name and what I know about in numerology, and I think I sang him a song. It's just kind of a thank you.
So, Anne, there's more here than ever meets the eye. I think you can probably sense that. The study of it is fascinating. Of course, I would encourage you to consider studying it. You can take my courses at any time you want to pursue the study through a home study, or if you're ever out here, do give me a phone call and be nice to chat with you. I look at your numbers, I get a sense of who you are and what your dreams are and many things, but we may or may not meet. But anyway, it's been my pleasure, and I hope you do keep in contact with me. It would be nice to nice to collaborate, and if I can be of any help, do let me know. Be glad to. And thanks for your little gesture on your email about paying the $50. It's all very welcome, and I appreciate that. So until we correspond or get a chance to chat, it's been my pleasure, Anne, and look forward to having some time with you at some point. And all the best.
That's it for Love and Radio. The name of this episode is Tell Me the Future. On it, we heard from Gauri, who talked about her Patrika, the Hindu book of astrology. We also heard from Adrienne Mathewitz, who got her fortune told by Solomon the Great. Solomon the Great is also known as Sean Cole. On the last section, you heard Paisley, whose name used to be Anne, and from name analyst Clayne Konings. Clayne's website is miracleofnames.com. The show was produced by Annie Berman and myself, Nick Vanderkolk. The contributing editor is Adrienne Mathewitz. Check out our website at loveandradio.org. You can leave us an audio message by clicking on Leave an Audio Message Now. Don't forget, we love hearing your feedback. Email us at contact@loveandradio.org.
Several cats. You've had several. They have died. You were responsible for one of the deaths. You were intentionally murdered a cat, and you have felt guilty ever since. Am I wrong?
That's actually true.
Oh, shit! I mean, I knew it.
Alt, NPR.